This is Jay Sekulow. We've got a new development. Your taxpayer dollars directly being used to fight against Israel.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. The United Nations, we mentioned this briefly on the broadcast yesterday, but I want to get into it a little bit deeper today. The United Nations just announced a plan to pay the Palestinian Authority, which, by the way, is a known sponsor of terror. That's not any great shock. Over $18 million, basically, to engage in what we call lawfare against the state of Israel. Now, the United Nations is hoping this designation of this $18 million as part of a program that they've done called the UN Development Assistance Framework will be put to use to put more pressure on Israel to, quote, conform to its international obligations. In other words, trying to create within the state of Israel this idea that they are a pariah state. But what you need to understand is your taxpayer dollars does go to, now this is not, we're not talking about hundreds of millions of dollars here. We're talking about $18 million. The United Nations gets about 22% of its budget from the United States, okay? So around 20%. $3 million of our money is going to go to the Palestinian Authority, a known sponsor of terror, who kills civilians, to go to take the Israelis to the international courts, where we, your ACLJ, defends at The Hague and another international tribunals. That's what's going on right now, today, being discussed this week at the United Nations. Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, one of those opportunities where the U.S., which is a major funder of the United Nations, remember, we fund the United Nations, just on the regular funding, it's about a quarter of the U.N. budget, just under that. And then we have all these discretionary tens of billions of dollars that go to the United Nations to fund other programs. So while you may say, well, out of our percent that we fund, then we're only funding a small percent of this, we are 100% the reason why the UN has this kind of money laying around, which it is laying around money for the UN.
Yes.
$18 million is, hey, we found this. Let's give it to the Palestinians so we can educate them directly, specifically, on how to go after, I mean, they say it.
Yes.
Go after Israelis. It's not like how they can protect their legal rights against Hamas and the Palestinian Authority and personally. It's about how to protect their legal rights and utilize international courts and international tribunals. By the way, that's the International Criminal Court.
Right.
To target Israelis. It's not a, what about the terrorists that govern them?
Yeah, shouldn't no, not be- Hamas, who's their partner in the coalition government. Let me give you the exact words that Jordan was just talking about. Quote, the money will be used to, quote, strengthen the capacity of Palestinian organizations to advocate effectively for the rights of Palestinians in the occupied territories. The amount of money in the strategic framework, $18,124,000. I want to go right up to Washington, D.C., talk to Than Bennett. Than, when we look at this and see what we're dealing with, again, it's not just the money here. It's this idea that our money, taxpayer money, would be utilized this way.
Well, not only that, Jay, but this is so much worse than a one-off funding of $3 million or $18 million or whatever it may be of some program that's anti-Semitic. We see that all the time at the United Nations, and that is terrible, Jay. But again, I want people to hear the words that you just said. It is a four-year strategic framework, so it might only be $18 million that's earmarked over those 4 years. But, Jay, it is a strategic plan, and it is intended to give other programs the green light to say it's okay to go after Israel using the United Nations apparatus. Jay, it might be a small dollar amount, but a strategic framework over 4 years, that is anything but insignificant.
Let me tell you what's not a small dollar amount. The $3 billion a year we give to the United Nations. $3 billion. Now they're taking $18 million of that $3 billion, well, $18 million of their total budget, to give it to the Palestinian Authority to not go after Hamas and Hezbollah, but to go after the Israelis. We're going to be defending that, by the way, and trying to get that stopped, but we'll also fight them in court. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan?
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. You can also find us broadcasting on Facebook, Periscope, and on ACLJ.org. Just find us, just search for Jay Sekulow, and you'll see it's the latest post. We don't take breaks. We keep the show going during the breaks online. Again, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, so here's the situation. $18 million in the UN's budget is being earmarked for this framework, which will, quote, strengthen the capacity of the Palestinian organizations to advocate effectively for the rights of Palestinians in the occupied territory. By the way, the fact that they called it the occupied territory, this is Israeli sovereign land. But that tells you what it is. That's number one. Number two, this will include training, capacity building, and technical advice to ensure that Palestinian victims and institutions are equipped with knowledge and tools to effectively access international accountability mechanisms. You know what that means? The International Criminal Court in The Hague. We've already defended Israel there. We'll do it again. But here's the worst part of all of this. Of the $18 million, if you just do the normal allocations of what the United States spends, we're about 22% of their budget, about $3 billion a year. So of that $18 million that's going to the Palestinian Authority to fight the Israelis, the Israeli government, Israeli soldiers and civilians in courts throughout the world, understand that we, the American people, are funding $3 million of it. Our money going to the Palestinian Authority through the UN for what purpose? This is what's very critical. For what purpose? For the purpose of allowing the Palestinian Authority to pay for their lawyers to go to court at the International Criminal Court in The Hague, where we're already there right now, to lodge these complaints against Israel, which, by the way, you never actually see the complaint, and that we have to respond to, which we are. And then Jordan raised another point during the break, which I think is very, very important.
So it makes the UN the number one organization funding Palestinians to bring lawsuits and try to make war criminals out of Israelis. Okay, so the UN is the number one organization, number one group, because they're the ones funding it. They are the organization doing it and putting up the structure. But what does that also mean? Well, the U.S. with that, and I say that's a low estimate of $3 million, we're the single largest donor to the organization setting up the Palestinian effort to make Israelis into war criminals. So you understand the U.N., largest single organization doing this, and they're doing it with the largest donor being the United States of America. It's why I think, Than, if we could get into with Nikki Haley and they make sure that however these funds are appropriated, at least we can know that not a single U.S. dollar has gone to fund efforts to try and make Israelis into war criminals. And this would be in line with statements she has made at the U.N. Because she has been very distraught at how much focus there has been. We played that soundbite yesterday on the broadcast. On Israel when there's these other 192 UN member states. But I think, Than, that's kind of our first action item is man, it's tough to get the UN to cancel one of these programs completely, but we can certainly try and ensure that not a single U.S. dime goes to, so that we're not the number one donor to the number one organization funding lawfare against Israelis. And that means putting Israelis into war tribunals.
Jordan, it's consistent with the strategy that the ambassador's taken as well. You remember we withdrew from UNESCO. We also got an anti-Israel report pulled when she stood up and used U.S. leverage. And look, I think we should call on that from Ambassador Haley, but I also think we should call on the United States Congress to get her back and say, look, if this report, if this strategic plan is not pulled when we pass next year's budget, guess what's going to have $18 million fewer in it? The UN's general budget, because the United States is going to pull the requisite amount. I think we can hit it on both sides of Pennsylvania Avenue, the State Department and the U.S. Congress.
Yeah, I'll tell you what also is important here, and I want to get everybody to understand. You got to understand the nature of the enemy you're dealing with here, and the fact that then you're funding that enemy makes it even worse. We've got a petition up at aclj.org. Let me encourage you, sign it. Stand with us as we stand with Israel, and we're going to get letters to Ambassador Haley. But the issue is, it's our taxpayer dollars, but the UN shouldn't be doing this anyways. I'll read from the report in a minute. Let's go ahead, Logan, and take a call or a comment. By the way, if you want to talk to us on air, I want to know what you think about this. We need to be able to communicate this to our elected representatives and also as we do our advocacy. We want to know what you think about your taxpayer dollars going to this funding of the Palestinian Authority. You just call us at 1-800-684-3110. We want to hear what you would like us to say and your opinion on this. 800-684-3110. Of course, we'll answer any questions you might have as well.
All right, let's go to Jerry in Rhode Island on line one.
Hi, Jerry. Go ahead.
Jay, is there a class action potential here against people like us who don't want our money used like that, similar to the attack of against abortion clinics? Is there enough of us that have a claim that takes it one step further?
So you can't. There's not a civil action that you can utilize to say we don't want our taxpayers' dollars going this way. What we can do is, as Stan mentioned, we can talk to Congress to make sure our money's not allocated. Talk to the ambassador. Talk to the White House about it. But also try to stop it. So let me read to you what they're talking about, because this kind of puts it into a little bit of a perspective. And this is, by the way, 58,130 of you have already signed our petition on this, so that's a great start. We encourage you again, go to aclj.org. So here's what they're saying. This is in this plan, the strategic framework. In 2017, the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, including East Jerusalem, will have been under military occupation for 50 years. Now, first of all, the Israelis pulled out of the Gaza Strip 15 years ago. So that's fundamentally not true. Okay, that's number one. Number two, this operating environment is unique and is reflected in this framework that they put together. Ending the occupation is the single most important factor in enabling Palestinians to chart a successful course to the sustainable development goals. None of that is true. There's nothing in there that is correct. Okay? Here's what's correct. Hamas is the government in partnership with Fatah. The Palestinian Authority, Jordan, I think you said this yesterday when we were taping our TV, our documentary special, is neither Palestinian in the true sense nor an authority.
No, they're not an authority, especially when compared to an actual terrorist organization who has attacked Israel, has survived these many years, has thrown the Palestinian Authority out of the Gaza Strip. They're the ones with authority. They're the ones that you can fear if you're a Palestinian Authority quote-unquote member, because they know how to exercise power ruthlessly. So when you get into bed with them, which is what the Palestinian Authority has yet done again, forgetting, I guess, that Hamas took their leaders in Gaza and threw them off the tops of buildings. Now, these days, that doesn't sound as extreme as some of the things that ISIS has done. But back then, that was about as extreme as we saw of Islamic terrorist against Islamic terrorist. Okay, I mean, that's what it was. You know, it's a reformed Islamic terrorist versus actual Islamic terrorist throwing each other off the tops of buildings to their deaths, not second floor, okay? And they're now saying, we're going to reunite. And what are we reuniting for? Well, we can get $18 million from the UN, which sounds like nothing to the UN, but to all of us, let's realize, to the Palestinians, that's a ton of money, and it's discretionary with one goal and one purpose only. So they don't have to find this money anywhere else. They don't have to fund some anti-Israel donor to do it. The UN will do it on its own, with probably the U.S. being the single largest donor to that. The way
Why would we be doing this?
The most effective anti-Israel, I'll say it's the most effective anti-Israel strategy they have.
Yep.
It's more effective than their attacks. It's more effective than their little rockets. the most effective strategy they have is to try and take Israelis to court.
Yeah, and again, we beat them in court, but again, now they're we're funding their ability to do it against us.
And this is war crimes court, not like civil court for a few thousand dollars of claims here, not small claims court. We're talking international tribunals so that, give you an example, an Israeli who may be a dual citizen, it's one of the countries that many countries allow people to be a dual citizen of, Israel. There's not many like that. The U.S. allows it. If this lawfare is, when it is successful, sometimes these judgments are hanging out there. These people with dual citizenship, we had an attorney who was in the studio yesterday who was one of our attorneys, David Benjamin, originally South African, could not go home for a number of years to visit his family that was still in South Africa as an Israeli because of his service in the Israeli Defense Forces, specifically named because he was worried that South Africa would send him to the International Criminal Court in The Hague to be tried for war crimes. So we have the real stories of people who have already been affected by this when the Palestinians didn't have $18 million to spend. Now give them $18 million, there's going to be a lot more people like our David Benjamin who can't travel freely in the world. And that is one of the goals. They want to make Israelis feel like they are an apartheid state.
Exactly.
And when you're in an apartheid state, you can't leave it because you get arrested if you do. So that is the feeling. And remember, everyone in Israel, for the most part, has served in the armed forces. So everyone is then a potential what? A potential someone you can file the lawsuit against, a potential defendant in court.
All right. By the way, Than points this out. I'm going to go to Than on this, that the United States law, we still prohibit in the United States funding terrorist organization, and Hamas is one of those, and they're in partnership with Fatah under this coalition government. So that raises another issue we can raise with Congress, Than.
It's getting around U.S. law. I mean, all those atrocities you heard Jordan describe, they're committed by Hamas, a designated terrorist organization, and U.S. law still prevents them from getting U.S. money, but this scheme gives them a workaround.
Yeah.
And just quickly, Jay, the reason all of what Jordan described is possible is because this $18 million is seed money. It's seed money for programs like UNICEF and UNRWA. All of them can apply for it, and then they can use their own funds to supplement it and expand the damage.
All right, we're going to take your calls and comments. We come back from the break, 1-800-684-3110. We're breaking this down for you because this is important. This affects the United States as well. All right, Logan, let everybody know how they can engage. A lot of people on Facebook and Periscope, but also our radio audience. We want you to call in.
Yeah, you can call in. We have a line or two open right now. Oh, never mind. You can clear a call in. I'm sure some won't make it through. 1-800-684-3110. One opened up. See, we're right. 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call right now. You can also join us online, aclj.org. Get your comments in on social media. You can tweet us at Jay Sekulow. Make sure you're following us at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow.
And at Than Bennett.
And
let me say, we got an email out right now that is on this issue of the anti-Israel bias coming in this lawfare. So if you don't get them, you should. But sign that petition, aclj.org. And don't forget our matching challenge campaign also at aclj.org.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, The ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
So this is another quote from this framework that the friends of the Palestinian Authority and those that don't like Israel are trying to put forward. Quote, the UN will also strengthen its own advocacy on the impact of Israeli violations on Palestinian development prospects, including through joint activities that clearly communicate the effect the occupation and breaches of international law have had on the ability of Palestine to develop economically, socially, environmentally, and politically, including the responsibility of Israel vis-a-vis Palestinians' implementation of the SDGs. How about this? How about this one? I think this would be a good one. How about the fact that you're going to condemn with all, and your advocacy will go forward on showing that Hamas, a terrorist organization, is in partnership with Fatah. By the way, that's not something we're just, you know, we're finding out through separate means. You want to know how we know that? Because they're publicizing it, that they're in a coalition government. So this isn't pretend. This is real. All right, let's take calls or comments.
Well, let's take calls. A lot of people are holding. Let's go to Lynn in Indiana on line 4.
Hey, Lynn, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air, ma'am.
Thank you for all you're doing. And Israel is not the one doing the violations. If the 18 million should actually go to Israel because of their defense budget, because they are always attacking Israel.
Yeah, right.
I mean, so that's who it should actually go to if it's going to go to anyone.
It's interesting, Lynn. I was thinking about the same thing. I was like, you know, they're giving this 18 million to one. Will it ever even make it to people to even file the lawsuits? Is it just going right into the hands of terrorists to carry out terrorist attacks? I mean, that's the problem when you give any money over to Palestinians, is that most of that money goes into funding terror, whether it's buying rockets, whether it's reinforcing tunnels, or lining the pockets of the few leaders that exist in that region. So that's part one. Part two, though, is let's say they do use this funds the way they're supposed to. So the UN is engaging an attack on a fellow member state?
Yes.
And funding it to a non-member state, because they are a territory,
and
even under
state,
the UN's
right.
term, not a state. They get to, participate as a non-member at the UN, but not a member state. And so they're going to fund lawfare. They're going to fund legal attacks, trying to put people in jail.
Right.
Let me just say, this is not like they want, you know, to win $50 million verdicts. The way that they're explained this is the international tribunals. The only ones that would be available to individuals would be in the war crimes setting. So
correct.
You're talking about not retribution, not getting a few $100,000 for property here and there. We're talking about lawsuits that put people in jail, prosecute, criminal court. And what does that do?
It's the International Criminal Court located in The Hague and is part of the United Nations.
And what does that mean? Israelis have a fear of travel. Israelis have judgments hanging over them. And we've seen it in the past before. We've had our own staff affected by it. Because what did the Palestinians know, and what did the UN know? That unlike many countries in the world, every Israeli is a likely defendant here and criminal,
especially
in their terminology,
soldiers.
Because every Israeli serves for the most part, with few exceptions, serves in the armed forces for at least 2 years.
Logan, will you get me some comments on Facebook? I want to hold this up to our audience that's watching on TV right now, and if you're on a radio audience, I'll just tell you what I'm holding in my hand. This is a 200-plus page document. That's called the United Nations Development Assistance Framework, State of Palestine, 2018 to 2022. So this is the plan. And in this plan is where they allocate in this framework this money to take the Israelis, basically the Israeli government and Israeli soldiers and citizens, to the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Because when they talk about international bodies of accountability, that's what they're talking about. We've done this. And we've defended Israel on this issue. And the success spoke for itself. Why did it speak for itself? Because the prosecutor in that particular time said there was no jurisdiction. But the UN doesn't stop, and now they're giving your money, our taxpayer dollars, to the Palestinian Authority, which is in partnership with Hamas. You're not getting a lot of this analysis elsewhere. In partnership with Hamas for the sole purpose of doing what? Bringing charges against Israel. There you have it. All right, we'll take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. Comments?
Yeah, Brenda asked, does the UN have all the say on this? Can the president do anything? Can the U.S. do anything?
Well, this is, you know, this is, I'll get Dan involved in this because this is where we are looking at a multi-pronged response here. We've got a petition up at ACLJ.org, which is to stop this, number one. We are going to utilize our mechanisms in our Office of Government Affairs in Washington, including the fact that no money's supposed to go to a terrorist organization. Hamas is a terrorist organization. They're in partnership. I know this sounds complicated. But the Palestinian Authority is made up of two groups, Fatah, which is the PLO, and Hamas, which is a terrorist designated terrorist organization. By the way, the PLO is too. And they're not supposed to be, any of our money's not supposed to, none of our money should be going there. Now, what they're doing is a subterfuge. They send it to the United Nations. And look, I think that we'd have bipartisan support to not let this happen. But the question is, Stan, what leverage we can put on now? Because this hasn't gone through yet. It's being proposed. It's not through yet.
Well, there are two leverage points. One is the dollars that we've been talking about. This can be led by both the administration and the Congress that says, if you go forward in this, we will dock the contributions we give to the United Nations. We have absolute control over what we send you. And if you go forward with this agenda, we will pull the dollars. And Jay, the other one is the one that you and Jordan talk a lot about. It's not withdrawing all the way from the United Nations, but it's when this strategic framework works its way into resolutions that end up at the Security Council. It's making sure you have a president and an ambassador that will absolutely stand in the way, stand up and veto those resolutions. We didn't have those for a long time, Jay, but as long as the United States is there, they will be on the council, and if they are willing to exert their leverage at the council, they can stop the resolutions when they get to that point.
I mean, they're very clear on what they're saying here. I mean, this is, again, from this document that I'm holding in my hand, the UN framework. The UN will increase its support for Palestinian institutions, state and non-government, Jordan, this is interesting, and Palestinian victims of violations to effectively monitor, advocate, and seek legal recourse for violations by the occupying power. This is, folks, a framework to go after Israel, and they're using, we're paying for 22% of that budget.
And the only way that they've been able to even really get a say in court, and they have not been successful yet, but the only way is to target individual Israelis. And so even when they bring these general war crimes, you can't just bring it as general. You have to actually name individuals. Who are the parties that were conducting what you believe was bad? So that goes all the way from the top to generals to 18-year-olds. And let me tell you who has the most effect on the 18 and 19-year-olds who are, again, serving their country honorably, doing their job. And again, in oftentimes these situations, the violations date back years. They have to do with actual military conflicts. We've talked about this in a special that we're going to have for all of you. But there's this issue now developing in the world where, see, the UN and the international law is set up only for warfare between, like, belligerent countries. So it's not really even set up for, like, when the U.S. has to go in and fight ISIS. It's not set up for when the U.S. had to go in and fight al-Qaeda and the Taliban and that mixture of civilians and different groups. It's really only set up in the post-World War II conflict of, okay, Germany is going to war against the UK, and they're going to fight, and there will be some civilian casualties. What will be a war crime? Well, the Holocaust was a war crime, so the systematic execution of a people group within those territories Germany took over is a war crime. Bombing civilian areas in the UK were considered illegal acts under the law. And then there were legal acts of war that were horrendous violence, but considered legal under the law of war. This has gotten us into this whole new world, but the problem is it hasn't been written down. They're trying to write the law on how to deal with fighting with terrorism.
But it also includes state and non-government actors. Right. We're going to talk with Andy Economo, Harry Hutchison, our director of policy, our senior counsel. We come back. We're going to add them to this conversation. Logan, let everybody know how they can stay engaged, and then I want to ask everybody to do something.
That's right. You can join us still online if you don't get us on your local station, aclj.org, facebook.com/JSecula, Twitter, Periscope, @JSecula.
All right, so here's what I'm asking you to do. We've got a petition up at aclj.org defending Israel. I want you to sign it, but I also want you to support the work of the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign, aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Welcome back, folks. $18 million of our taxpayer dollars. We touched on this yesterday, but we're drilling down on it today. Is going to, at least $18 million is going to from the United Nations to supposedly the Palestinian Authority, which is now in partnership with Hamas, which is a terrorist group. And that money is being utilized for them to advocate both governmentally and non-governmentally, that's what they say, against Israel. Let me read you the exact quote. The UN will increase its support for Palestinian institutions, state and non-government, so it's multi-pronged, and Palestinian victims' violations to effectively monitor, advocate, and seek legal recourse for the violations by the occupying power, the occupying power being Israel. We provide the United States provide 22% of the UN's budget, 22% of that UN budget, comes from us, which means about $3 million of that $18 million going to the Palestinian Authority and Hamas to fight us in court when we're defending Israel is coming from you and me. And we want to stop that. We've got a petition up at aclj.org. We are also asking you to sign that. And we are taking action both congressionally, legally, and if we've got to go to the International Criminal Court again to defend Israel, which actually we're preparing those documents as we speak. You heard from our office in Jerusalem. They were here in our media center yesterday. We are preparing that as we speak. So I want you to know we're advocating aggressively, but we have to, because you look at this thing, Jordan, it says governmental and non-governmental. We were there at the International Criminal Court in The Hague putting forward Israel's case. And we saw the lawyers, governmental and non-governmental, right, representing the Palestinian Authority.
Yes, and this is how you pay those non-governmental lawyers. So instead of them doing it kind of as like a
pro bono,
even if they are doing it in a non-profit setting, they're going to have a flush now of resources, because what happens really in this situation is they go to international attorneys, not Palestinian. The Palestinian attorney may work with an international attorney, but they go to international attorneys, primarily in Europe, who kind of build a case that they think will be more acceptable to the International Criminal Court. So now you're going to have the Palestinians with $18 million to give to those attorneys to go fund their research projects, put together their propaganda against Israel, their quote-unquote findings. And, I mean, they file – we talked about this, Dad, the pages they file in briefs. I mean –
700?
700 pages. So how do you think – now, they can do that through just text. But if you give them $18 million, they can document it with footage that makes things look bad and propaganda. And, you know, when people use human shields, guess what those pictures look like after the fact? Not nice.
Okay. Because they use human shields as part of their strategy. Right.
So they've got that going back years of conflicts. Now, we don't see that imagery all the time put out in our media because we realize it's use of human shields. But in Europe, it's become very effective. At the UN, it's become very effective. Yep. Instead of saying, I can't believe that Hamas is so cowardly that they would put their rockets in schools, you know what the world says? I can't believe that Israel would even strike back even if the rockets are in the schools.
Right, exactly.
Which is
All right, Fan, let's talk about the approach we're taking, because, you know, Jordan and I and our legal team were prepared to meet them in court if we have to go there again. We did that successfully against the Palestinian Authority back in 2010. It went on for about a couple of years. We were successful. But let's talk about the preemptive moves we're trying to take right now.
Yeah, the good news is, Jay, there are several opportunities ahead of us, and they don't take that long to get there. The first one is the administration. They could withhold voluntary contributions on a number of levels. Doesn't have to be this exact program. They can use the threat, look, we're going to withhold $18 million over here in this voluntary contribution if you don't pull this report. If that doesn't work, then we go to Congress. Remember, Jay, they have to fund the government again on December 8th, and we say, look, they have not refused to back off of this business plan, this four-year strategic framework. As a result, we think you should send them $18 million fewer dollars next year. If we get to December 8th without that being the case, Jay, that's the ask we make of Congress.
All right, so we're fighting that right now in Congress. We're preparing to go to court at The Hague if we have to, and all of that's working simultaneously, and we're bringing it to you through media advocacy. We want you to sign that petition, Standing with Israel, ACLJ.org, and also fighting this $18 million expenditure by the UN to basically fund terrorist lawyers to represent terrorist regimes. That's what I'm calling it. ACLJ.org to do that. Also, don't forget our matching challenge campaign. You can also participate in that at ACLJ.org as well.
That's right. A couple lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. Again, that's 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in online. But a couple lines are open once again, so give us a call.
All right, we'll talk to you when we come back from the break. We'll be joined by our Director of Policy and Senior Counsel, Andy Economo. 800-684-3110 to talk to us.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So we're talking about the situation with the United Nations giving $18 million to the Palestinian Authority, which is in partnership with Hamas, to give that money, which $3 million, by the way, is coming from you, the American people, so they can fight us when we're defending Israel in court. They're funding their lawyers. And they say this in their documents, by the way. This is not anything that's being hidden. I'm holding up in my hand the United States, United Nations Development Assistance Framework for the State of Palestine. There it is. So that's what we're dealing with. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Before we get to Andy and Harry, I want to give an update in Washington right now on the tax reform. Just really quickly here, Than, what are we seeing?
Yeah, moving on both the House and the Senate side today, Jay. The Ways and Means Committee is finishing up their markup. Later today, they're going to actually report that bill out of committee, send it to the floor. So next week, this likely will be in the news. It'll be on the House floor for a vote. And then, Jay, today the Senate is putting out their version of the bill. We do expect it to be a little bit different. We're going to be going through it this afternoon, but they will start consideration of that next week. So movement in both chambers. The bills are going to look different, Jay, and we're going to have to see how it goes. I think there are things about each of them we would like to see improved. The similarities, the broad rate reduction, those are there, and I think those are positive, but both chambers take a step forward today.
Yeah, and interesting also, we're getting reports, we haven't seen it yet, that in the Senate version, the adoption tax credit will be put back in, which I thought removing that was, you know, we're funding, the United States taxpayers are funding Planned Parenthood, but we're going to remove a deduction for families that are going through the process of adoption was a bit absurd. All right, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about this $18 million going to the Palestinian Authority. Let me go to Andy Economo on this. I've litigated at the International Criminal Court in The Hague on this. You look at this. If you look at the document, I've actually got the whole document here, all 200 pages of it. But they say, Andy, in it, I mean, they say, I'll read the quote, that the UN will increase its support of the Palestinian institutions, state and non-governmental, that's significant, and Palestinian victims of violations of effect to effectively monitor, advocate, and seek legal recourse for violations by the occupying power. Of course, they conclude that the occupying power is Israel.
Well, Jay, what this amounts to really is a declaration of war by the United Nations against the state of Israel. That's really what it is. I mean, we've had declarations of war by the UN against Israel, but nothing so blatant as to say we're going to fund $18 million so that the Palestinian Authority can wage war against Israel. It's a declaration. And I think something else is important. Hamas, a recognized terror organization, you know, has entered into a unity deal, with the Palestinian Authority. So this really means that the United Nations is funding a terrorist legal war, that's which they for short call lawfare. It's just a legal war against our ally Israel. And since, as you pointed out, we fund 22% of the United Nations, the United States.
About 3 million of it is from us.
It comes from taxpayers to fight Israel.
And this is the coalition between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority. By the way, the Palestinian Authority, which Jordan, I think, says it best, and I'm going to have to say it again for our audience that maybe used to be joining us, is neither really Palestinian in the purest sense of the word, nor an authority.
No, I mean, the Palestinian terminology, we say that because they are Arabs. That have come up with this terminology to define themselves. They could easily be Arabs in Lebanon, as some were, would probably melt right into that community. Some would melt right into what is Syria. Now, of course, that's more difficult under this current situation. Most would fall under either Jordanian or Egyptian definitions of kind of what kind of Arab. And, I mean, that's, again, a lot of those lines between Egypt and Jordan, Saudi Arabia and Lebanon, those were drawn a bit arbitrarily by the world, let me say, the UN and international institutions. So they would fit into those places. It's just they've never been absorbed before because those countries like having them, and they are using these people, really. But the bigger part of this is you have a name that makes you sound like you have the ability to lead and govern, right? When you put authority in your name, doesn't that sound like you can make decisions, that you can say yes or no for a large group of people that you govern, but the Palestinian Authority can't? Like, you can't just go to the Palestinian Authority and come up with a two-state solution with Israel and the Palestinian Authority, because who are you leaving out? Hamas, which controls a significant portion of Palestinian territory in the Gaza Strip. So they have no authority. They also would be thrown out of power by Hamas if it wasn't for the U.S. and Israel keeping military near their leaders, protecting them from Hamas radicals and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. You know, we're going throwback here. We're going to groups that have not gotten as much attention to the news because they don't cut as many heads off and they don't put people in cages and burn them alive. But they do kill.
Yes.
They just kill in a more, I guess we'd say in the more sense of a conventional ways they kill individuals, you know? So it's not as shocking as it once was. But they're still there. Palestinian Islamic Jihad. So that's not under the Palestinian Authority. Hamas, who can't control the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. That's not under Hamas authority. But if you had to pick between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority, who has more power? It's Hamas.
Oh, clearly.
I mean, not even...
it's not even a close call.
And they would flip the West Bank to Hamas territory in, I think, a matter of
days
if Israel and the U.S. were no longer there protecting the Palestinian so-called leadership.
Yeah, I Harry, what's your view of the situation?
Well, first I would say that Jordan and Andy's analysis is precisely correct. Jay, just as tanks and missiles are instruments of military aggression and terror, UN resolutions and the UN strategic framework aimed at funding Palestinian lawfare, both of these approaches are all aimed at weakening and delegitimizing Israel. Lawfare is an instrument of war and terror. And so it's very, very important to confront what the UN has done.
Yeah, so I'm holding in my hand the framework. This is what it looks like. And this is the official UN framework. Now, it hasn't gone through yet. So we're fighting to get it not funded. But make no mistake, I've already got a team of lawyers. You met a lot of them yesterday that were in the studio with us working on responding to this. So we're fighting back. But you know, you fight on this, and the Palestinian Authority has filed a 700-page complaint with the International Criminal Court in The Hague, the Office of the Prosecutor. We haven't seen it. So you're responding
you ever get to see it?
Huh?
Do you ever get to see it?
You may. They may release it at some point. But the point is, you've got
to
be
respond before.
Well, there's not a time frame on response. So it's because they don't have rules of.
But you don't want to let that sit.
You can't let that sit out there. So you've got a response. So we generally know what they're alleging. And from that, we develop the legal framework. All right, we're taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. You can tell this has got us riled up. 800-684-3110. Phone call or comment, Logan?
Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Lisa, who's calling Washington. I'll hold like 20 minutes. Let's go ahead.
Hi, Lisa. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
I consider the Lawfare a big deceit. And you guys as watchdogs, and you're the ones that are pursuing the truth and you know, via the radio and all the legal paperwork and the legal action is pursuing the truth, which brings order to all this chaos, which has been going on forever, and it's just a continuing battle. So I am not surprised. But one thing I would like all of us to remember is to pray for both the Palestinians and Israelis, you know, Israel and such, because you know, that's where the power is in the prayer. But I really appreciate you guys and all your watchdog work and the legal work you're doing, because I don't know where else I would be getting this information, because it certainly is not, I don't know where I would hear it.
Well, I appreciate you, Lisa. Listen, I appreciate you calling. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your prayers for the Palestinian people. Look, we've represented Palestinians that have been in very difficult situations because of Hamas. So we know firsthand. I mean, Jordan and I have been there and done it. And the ACLJ has been there and done it. So we know exactly what you're saying.
The thing is that legitimate issues that Palestinians face, there are organizations out there, including our own, which would come to their aid. They have that. They have for legitimate issues, oftentimes where they need to negotiate and work with Israel, and that can be difficult for Palestinians to be able to get a seat at that table. So they need to work through groups like ours. So that's why we have been available when necessary. That is different than waging a warfare type of law against a country. So when it's legitimate, let me tell you, ACLJ would be there for the Palestinians. For all of you out there in your churches who are saying, the Palestinians, this and
we
that.
We represent Palestinian Christians.
Yeah. And I don't know how.
In unbelievably difficult circumstances. Yeah, literally life and death.
Have these terrorist lawyers, as you call them,
yes.
They don't care about the people.
No,
it's all politics to them and policy and again an agenda. We actually have to be with the people. We've been with the clients. Hold your hands through the process. See the tears. See the violence, and get the solutions done. That's being lawyers. What they do is use courts for their political gains.
Let's on tomorrow's broadcast have the Rami Ayad story. We have that in one of our movies, Logan. Right? We have that in our documentary.
That's right.
I think that would be. For people to understand, we're representing Israel's interests and promoting that, but we also represent Palestinian Christians that are subject to terror. Andy, you and I have been there.
Yes.
During when these situations are arising, and we've represented the Greek Orthodox Church.
Yes, we have.
We've represented the Palestinian Christians that have been subject to. I mean, the worst of the worst is when a young family, husband who's the operator of the Palestinian Bible Society in Gaza. It was killed in broad daylight, stabbed 43 times by Hamas. We represented the family to get him out of the situation. So we understand it. But what the UN's doing here, unacceptable. All right, we're going to take more of your calls and comments. We got the last segment of the broadcast coming. We got phone lines open for you. 1-800-684-3110.
That's right. Give us a call. Phone lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are open. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Get your voice heard. This is the time.
We also have a petition up to stop this UN funding. ACLJ.org for that. Almost 60,000 people have signed it. And don't forget our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. Back with your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, This book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, last segment of the broadcast, everyone, taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Logan, let's grab another phone call here.
All right, again, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Dave in New Jersey, thanks for holding.
Hi, Dave, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello, Jay.
Hey.
I have a few questions, so sure. If I can get them off in time.
Okay.
First question, we have, as the United States, a lot of influence in the UN. How do we make sure that they don't misuse our funds, and how do we fight the anti-Israel policies of the previous administration?
All right, let's go to that one. And there, you know, obviously Nikki Haley's done a great job as our Israeli ambassador, but she's trying to undo a lot of previous policies.
Yeah, I'd say first, we have a lot of funding power at the UN, and we have our veto power at the Security Council. This matter is not a Security Council matter. So at the Security Council, we can veto. We didn't. I mean, that's what's making it so tough to undo some of those anti-Israel policies that when the Obama administration could have used their veto power, they did not. So you can't go back and re-veto. Even when you have an administration change, you'd have to convince diplomatically the other countries to reimpose the kind of support for Israel, the sanctions, that kind of issue. Second, at the UN, we are a funder. So that's really where our secondary power comes from. Our first power is being one of the permanent five members of the Security Council. Our second power is that we fund more than any other country. So we do have a say in the budget of the United Nations, and we can be much tougher on that budget. I will say, though, when you get to the General Assembly, where they pass resolutions that don't have meat behind them, but do, I mean, condemn Israel and put out the propaganda, if you will, kind of set the stage for the case.
Right.
Though they're not binding, the U.S. has one vote, just like every other country. So you have to be creative at the U.N. using our permanent seat on the Security Council and the money that we provide.
Yeah, so from a policy standpoint, Harry, the job here is to get the policy change, but we have to attack that from a multi-pronged source, which includes the International Criminal Court in The Hague when necessary, and we have to defend.
Absolutely. And I think the United States should consider a policy of funding organizations which fight the Palestinians and other organizations that classify Israel as an occupying power at the International Criminal Court. Yep. In other words, if we are truly interested in justice worldwide, we ought to fight genocidal forces connected to Hamas. The other thing that we need to consider is reducing funding to the Palestinian Authority based on the funds they allocate to lawfare. It's important to note that lawfare, as I've said before, is simply a form of white-collar terrorism.
Yep.
Instead of men and women in improvised explosive devices or wearing explosive devices and belts, we have individuals who are wearing designer suits and carrying smartphones, but they have the same objective in mind: to delegitimize Israel as a nation state.
And Andy, they do it, and it's so multifaceted the way in which they do it. So, you know, Tham was talking about we've got to deal with them at the UN, we got to deal with them at the International Criminal Court in The Hague, we got to deal with it domestically on the dollars that are being allocated from the United States, we got to recognize that they're in this partnership with Hamas, which is a designated terror organization, so they shouldn't be getting one dime from the United States.
Yeah, absolutely, not a penny, certainly from the United States, and not funneled through the United Nations. I was in looking at the document that you brought up, Jay, the UN Development Assistance Framework document for 2018 to 22, I thought it was very interesting that some of the reasons for this money is to train, advise, and equip Palestinian victims and institutions. Victims of whom? Doesn't say that. Hamas's Palestinians are as much a victim of Hamas as they are of anybody, and yet they don't say that. They focus it on Israel. And then they say this, to help the UN advocate, help the UN, remember, advocate, quote, on the impact of Israeli violation on Palestine's development prospects. I'd like to know what development prospects of the Palestinian Authority are being violated or inhibited or prohibited by Israel such that $18 million has to be used to counter that.
Yeah,
they don't say anything about that.
Because they're making this stuff up.
It's made up. It's simply fabricated linguistic contortions designed to get money to the Palestinian Authority.
For who knows what purpose.
And that's exactly it. Who knows where the money's really going?
Yeah, I mean, the reason why many people in the Palestinian authorities live in conditions which are not great is because they still have refugee status by the UN. And so the UN still treats them as refugees in refugee camps, even though it's been, three generations of being refugees. And so to maintain a refugee status, you have to continue to live at the level of a refugee. It's why you can go to some of the cities in the Palestinian Authority, like Bethlehem, so where you have, again, the church there. And so it's taken care of mostly by the Vatican, that providing funding so that the church and the city is a place where people can, religious pilgrims can visit. But if you go just down the street in Bethlehem to where the actual Palestinians live, it's still a refugee camp. That breeds, again, not good behavior, but it's the UN running those camps.
Yeah, exactly.
Telling the people that if you don't stay in the camp, you're not going to be eligible for our funding or status as a refugee.
All right, let's take another phone call here, Logan.
All right, let's go to Cecilia, who's calling in New York on line two.
Hi, Cecilia. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. I was thinking if more countries wouldn't go support Israel about throwing out the Palestinian segment, we would have peace there. What country tolerates a group of their citizens coming into their country and stabbing their citizens, killing people?
Yeah, they don't talk about that, Cecilia. They don't talk about that. But here's the thing. The Palestinian Authority is a misnomer because they have no authority. They're in business or operating only because Israel will prop them up and the United States because Hamas is the other alternative. So this whole thing is a farce. You got to understand, the whole setup is a farce. And then you talked about the fact that Nikki Haley had got that apartheid report pulled. We now need to get this framework reformatted. Let's put it that way.
Well, the voice of the United States is even stronger than the voice of the United Nations. And Andy was talking about how more than dollars is the UN advocating for this kind of ridiculous framework. And that's true. I think the voice of the UN is the biggest part here. But when the United States stands up, their voice and their dollars are stronger than the United Nations. So we need to call on Ambassador Haley, as she has done, to exercise that voice. And Jay, if the United Nations doesn't listen, then the United States Congress, that holds the purse strings, should quit giving them the money for this particular project.
Yeah, I completely concur, and I look at this report. We're developing our framework on this. We're responding to this both domestically and internationally. We have about five lawyers working on this situation to respond to the complaints that the PLO has filed at The Hague. But again, folks, understand that this one, people say, oh, it's $18 million. Out of the UN budget, that's not a lot. And it's only $3 million of that's the U.S. But do you want to give a dollar of your money to the Palestinian Authority so they could take Israel to court and try to create the image that Israel, the Jewish state, is illegitimate? That's exactly and precisely what is at stake in this matter. And that's why we're fighting so aggressively. And as I said, we're fighting in Washington, in Geneva, in New York, at The Hague, wherever this ends up coming, your American Center for Law and Justice is there prepared to take action. And again, your support of the ACLJ allows us to do that. We're in a matching challenge campaign right now at the ACLJ for the month of November. Your support will make a huge difference. ACLJ.org. It's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate to the American Center for Law and Justice, we're getting a matching gift for. So I encourage you right now to become part of the team. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And there are a lot of ways for you to stay engaged with us. Logan's going to let you know how to do that as we close this broadcast out.
That's right. As you said, everything can be found on ACLJ.org. Make sure you follow us on all social medias. That's at Twitter at Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, Logan Sekulow, Than Bennett, ACLJ. Like us on Facebook, Jay Sekulow, ACLJ, and all the other pages. You can find us there. Subscribe to the Jay Sekulow Live podcast. Download the ACLJ app available in the App Store for Apple devices and in the Channel Store. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.